It's demo time, Matrix Live. Here we go. First up, we got Will, we got Quentin, and they're going to talk to us about Element Admin. Do I call it Element Admin Console? I'm not sure. I'll leave it over to you guys to tell us.
Okay, cool. I'm just going to share my screen and then I will talk over that. So hopefully you can now see something that says Element Server Suite. And this is a new product that Element have built called Element Admin. And it's designed to be an intuitive, delightful, and mass compatible admin console, essentially. It's the way to administer your Matrix stack. This is a beta version that we're showing you. The release will be early next week. You'll be able to get your hands on it. I will be administrating an ESS Pro server in this demo, and then Quinton afterwards will be demoing against an ESS community afterwards. It's very early days. We'll be adding more and more, but let's get into it, shall we, and show you what it's like. So I've got a test ESS Pro instance at example.corp. So we'll get started. As you can see, it's redirected me to MAS. Okay, great. I'm going to log in with a MAS admin account. Log in, allow access, and boom. This is the Element admin dashboard. So you can see the server name up here, Element Corp. Because this is on ESS Pro, we've got a bit more extra information here. So I can see what ESS version I'm on and the latest ESS version with a link to the release notes, which is pretty cool if you're a server admin. You can see the Synapse version, and you can see the total number of rooms and total number of users. So if I click into the users page, you can see, yeah, a whole bunch of users, obviously. I can do some pretty cool stuff here. So I can filter by all of these different toggles. I can filter by active users. I can filter by locked users. And you can see that it comes up with a cool pill here to show you what filters are active. You can remove that now. I'll show you clicking into a user as well. So, for example, here, you can see this fictional person called Nancy. And with various controls that I can administer her account. So I can lock an account, I can unlock it, I can deactivate, I can change passwords, I can add or remove email addresses. If I had an IDP set up, I'd be able to administer those connections as well here. I can also add an account. So if I could add Jane Smith on here. And then if I search for Jane, there we go, new account just set up here, and I could then change the password to whatever I wanted it to be there. So that's pretty cool. Next up, we've got the room management. So on here, you can see obviously the big list of rooms. You can again do some cool filtering by private rooms or public rooms or non-empty and empty rooms. You can, of course, click into the room to find out a bit more information, the room topic, and various bits of information about that room, in this case, the book club. That is not all, of course. If I go to the dashboard, I can show you that it works in German. It's got German translations, it's got French translations, and then back to English as well. And that's still not all. I'll show you this on mobile as well. So let me just share that screen instead. Should be seeing a mobile screen here. So if I log in to that, I'll log back in because this is a different context. And boom, there it is on mobile, which is very nice. Looks pretty cool. Everything is scaled nicely, that you've got the same controls, complete kind of feature parity between the two, which is really nice. So yeah, this is pretty cool. And I think at this point, I'll hand over to Quinton to show the Element admin backed off ESS community.
Yeah, so that was Using just TSS Pro, but of course I have my local setup. So one thing I wanted to show off, because I really use way too much time on this, there's a cool loading animation when the app loads, and it's fancy. That's probably the most important feature of this thing. The thing is, you have to slow down your network connection, because the thing is too fast to slow to load usually for you to see this loading animation. But still, that's my local server on the community version of the components we have. And you see my infinitely scrollable list of admins, of users. It's snappy. It feels great. It just works. As you see here, it's like the light version now. Will was showing off the dark version. So that's all powered by Compound. It also behaves like a proper web app, meaning that if I command click on thing, and it just works in another tab, and the thing has loaded. It's just like proper links. That's just behaves as you expected to behave. We also have management of registration tokens. So if you have a community server where you're using registration tokens for moderated registrations, so that users can register themselves, but it's not fully open registration. Well, you can use that, manage that. That's a feature you can enable in mass, and now you can actually have a UI for all those tokens. I think that's about it, I guess.
But Compton, is this open source?
Yeah, we're gonna release this probably early next week. Hopefully, if we can push the right buttons. And I'm so excited about this. It's gonna just be AGPL like all our other components. Same thing for localization. So if you're like, you can contribute code to it. You can contribute localization to it. It's very open, and you can just use it with your existing deployments. It's pretty cool.
Yay! Amazing.
We're living in the future.
All right. This next one by Keegan is going to take you through sticky events. This is not an easy topic to demo.
So it's quite sticky.
I'm just fascinated to see how he's going to do it. Keegan, I'm sure you're going to smash it.
Hello. Yeah. Thank you. I'm actually not going to demo anything, because demoing that events get delivered is not the most entertaining demo.
Okay.
Instead, you have a presentation, a short presentation, because that's going to be, I think, the best way of trying to explain what this does. So it's a new MSC. It's called Sticky Events. I've been shouting about it for the past couple of weeks, and I just want to briefly kind of go through why it exists, what is it useful for, and just stuff about it. So the problem that we're trying to solve in some ways is that sending room state is fundamentally more reliable delivery-wise than sending messages. So if you want to kind of develop something that's going to, and you want to make sure that all the people in the room are going to go and get the same bit of information, using room state is more reliable than using messages. But there's a reason why messages are more unreliable than state, and we're going to explain a bit about that. When you send room state, there are like three paths that things can go wrong, either sending the data up to the server, over federation, or back down to the client. I've done plenty of these sorts of diagrams in the past. So the client retries requests when they send room state, which is great. Over federation, if the receiver doesn't have some bits of room state, they have mechanisms to ask for all the missing room state. And the home server will not apply certain filters that may result in the room state not being not arriving on all servers. So I'm purposely fuzzy about that, because it's really not important. And then on the way down to the client on the other side, the room state always arrives in your sync response. So there's four key things that are happening here. But when you send room messages, this is not true. When you send room messages, sure, we do retry requests when you send messages, but over federation, we only ask for the most recent messages. So if you have earlier, older messages than that, then you're not going to get them by default. Likewise, there are additional filters that get applied on the home server, which may mean that the message doesn't arrive to the other side. And likewise, over sync, we only actually get the most recent timeline limit messages. You have to expect the other side to ask for earlier messages, which they may or may not do. So some of the constraints that we had to work with here is that we don't want to, like, the simple solution is just like just get all the messages. It's all great. But we don't want to force servers to go and fetch all the messages in a room. So we need a way of kind of picking out which messages are important, which ones are not important. And equally, we have to accept that we operate on the public internet, so you may have bad actors who send every message as important. So we need to have a way of kind of controlling and limiting how many messages can be important or have them expire in some way. So this is the context in which sticky events exist, and how it solves this issue, how it solves this problem is by marking an event as sticky. And that's simply a flag that you can provide when you send an event. And that flag specifies how long you want that event to be sticky for, with a maximum cap of 1 hour. The idea is that sticky events will have a stronger delivery guarantees than normal messages, which match that of state events. So the critical thing here is, like, it doesn't reset back off timers, for example, because that doesn't happen when you send state events to other servers. But the other points that I've mentioned about, you know, things coming down / sync, we want to have those kinds of guarantees for sticky events. And then, of course, once they expire, the delivery guarantees will go away. But of course, it's just a message, so that message is still going to remain in the timeline if it was delivered. And likewise, you can still backfill those messages. So the differences here now with sticky events is, again, you clients will send the requests and they will retry their requests. Over federation, the sending home server will retry sending sticky events if the other side has not acknowledged it for the duration that it remains sticky, which is a maximum of 1 hour. The home server doesn't apply those additional filters to sticky events. And then down / sync, they always get delivered. There's a special section in the sync response specifically for sticky events in addition to the timeline. So the kind of thing is, like, why do we want this in the first place? And for one use case that you can have for sticky events, that if you want to signal important messages like intentional mentions, you could signal at mentions as a sticky event, just to get that slightly higher chance that it's going to be delivered to the end user. But the more pressing cases here are for short-lived per user room state. So this is things like live location sharing and voice over IP. So this is Matrix RTC, which is the kind of context in which this MSC exists. And you could just say, okay, well, hang on, why don't you just use room state? Like, room state surely allows you to have per user ephemeral information, right? And it's not really appropriate, because we persist all historical state, and that has to get synced to all the other servers. So it's not very performant. And room state can only by default be sent by privileged users in the first place. And room state can roll back if there's any kind of conflicts, and the room state is unencrypted. So there's a whole bunch of reasons why room state isn't really appropriate for this kind of data, but sticky events would be. So where we're at the moment is there are some work in progress implementations, both on the server and in Element Call. Some more feedback on the MSC would be really, really appreciated. And the overall aim here is that I would like at least Matrix RTC to shift over to use sticky events instead of what it's currently using, which is effectively state events. And that's it. Thank you very much.
I think you stuck the landing.
Just to tease it, I think there's already a Matrix RTC implementation which is using sticky events.
Yeah, I just have a question. Like, we see that we can have sticky events, so room events. Can this apply to device event? Like, could I stick a verification request or?
Two device messages are already reliably delivered, so they don't need that.
There is a limit now in two device.
I wish there was.
Yeah, we all do.
I mean, you have to catch up to get all the two device.
Get delivered in order, but it's just a queue of messages. And that's also at a different scope, right? That's at a device level scope, whereas these are room level scopes. So it's more like a publish subscribe model, right? Where you're sending a message into a room, and that gets fanned out to all the other users in the room. Whereas two device messages are more point to point. There is some fan out though, if you send it to all your devices.
All right. Now, sometimes, firstly, thank you very much, Keegan. You have answered my question of how on earth you're going to demo this stuff. Now that was the best possible way. Sometimes it's hard to know how to link two demos together. And sometimes the speaker gives you the perfect in, because if you were paying close attention, you would have noticed when Keegan was saying, well, why didn't we just use state events? There was a whole bunch of different reasons. But one of those reasons was they're not encrypted, not end-to-end encrypted. Which leads us to our next demo. Sky, what are you going to demo?
I am going to be demoing encrypted state events. Holy shit, it's amazing. I've been interning at the company for coming up on my third month now. This has been my internship project, and I finally got it working in Element Web, which is very exciting. There's a whole set of PRs to get that in. It's taken quite a long time, but we're almost there. So I will share my screen, and hopefully Wayland does not fail me. Please don't fail me, Wayland. Is Wayland failing me?
Looks good.
Wayland is not failing me. That's a change. Right, so this is currently implemented as a labs flag. So I'm currently in developer mode because it's locked behind that. But if we go to the labs, we'll see there is a fancy new encrypted state events labs flag. This is present just in my PR, and once that gets merged, that will be hopefully up for everyone to play. I'm using a Netlify deployment in the moment, so that can be played with as well. So this lab flag, this will enable the support for creating rooms that have the ability to encrypt state events. The client already has the ability to understand and process them, but the labs just allows you to actually create it. So you won't actually be, you know, dealing with encrypted state events unless you join a room that has that encrypt state events flag set. This whole work also relies on the history sharing MSC. So we have to turn that on for that to work properly as well. But in Bob, we don't actually have to turn on the lab here, because as I said, it's all sort of passively supported anyway. It's more to do with whether or not you can create the rooms. So once Alice loads back up, there we go, I can create a new room. And there is a fancy new toggle switch, encrypt state events. I can flick that, and then I can set up my room as I normally would. There we go, I can create a room. And there we go, experimental state encryption enabled. It's very fancy. I can go ahead and invite Bob. And then this is the history sharing at work. There it goes. And then now I can accept this invite. And here I am. Experimental state encryption is enabled. So if I now go ahead and set the room topic to this is secret, that will take just a few seconds to go up as it gets encrypted. But once it's gone, we can inspect the event, and we can see that originally it was encrypted, and the client has passively decrypted it in the local echo. If we go over to Bob, Bob also sees it as encrypted, and it has been decrypted, which is very fun. This also works for things like room name. If I change the room name, secret room. That will also just take a few seconds to go, and that will go, and it has propagated nicely. So that's all good. It is working. There's a couple of little issues with this. If I create a room that has encryption on, you will notice that the first couple of events, so example, change the room name to encrypted, this didn't get encrypted. This is an issue I'm thinking about. I'm almost certain it's because it's just happened so quickly that encryption hasn't been enabled yet. But that should be hopefully a little easy fix. Another small issue, of course, is because the history sharing MSC only requires clients to download key bundles on join rather than on invite, even though they are made aware of them on invite, Bob here will not actually download the key bundle and decrypt any of the state events until Bob goes ahead and joins the room. So if I change this to secret secret room 2. That will go up. Now, if I go ahead and invite Bob, very annoyingly, we will see that once we get the, this is the old room name, but this should sort of be fixable if we share the key bundles on invite and have Bob download them immediately, but that opens up the DDoS vector that was pointed out in the history sharing. But if we join, this should all integrate nicely, and we will see that Bob does indeed have the secret room in it, and it just hasn't propagated to the UI. Another small bug. Other than that, it's all working, which is very fun. That's pretty much it.
Fantastic. Amazing.
Very good, very good. If you want to hear more about this, there's going to be a blog post going out on the Element blog. It's an absolute banger, and I'm not sure what the date is, but it will be real soon now. Moving from one internship project to another, Shrey has left us a video of their search in Multiverse. Andrew Anoa tells me that I can just share my tab and the sound's going to magically work. Let's try it out. I have not tested this in the wild, so let's see. No pressure, Andrew.
Yeah, this is also just off the top of my head, so good luck.
Yeah, and perhaps for some context, so Shrey worked on the SDK level, so the ROS SDK level that powers Element X, and he has been using Multiverse. It's a Rust application that can run within a terminal. So it's a very low-level thing running in a terminal, but the feature is here. Then we will have to integrate that into Element X, but yeah, we have a good foundation for that. And thanks, Shrey, if you listen to us.
All right, let's give it a go. Tell me if you can hear this.
Might need to turn the volume up in the web player there, Neil.
Need to unmute, Neil.
Andrew Patel, I've been interning.
Let's go right back to the beginning.
At Element for this summer. And I've been working with the Rust SDK team on client-side search. So yeah, this is the demo. You'll see we're in temp/multi. We're going to be using this for the data directory when running Multiverse. And I can show you now that it's empty. The only thing it contains is the login session information, no event cache, no search index or anything like that. Now, if I run matrix.org on Multiverse with our directory, then the first thing you'll see is that it's indexing. So all the posted events have now been indexed for every room, and so search should now work for all messages in every room. So first we'll test existing messages. So in this room, if I search for this, you see that every message that contains this will pop up. Yeah. And if it doesn't contain, then it won't pop up. Now, existing message is one thing, but will it work with new messages? As you can see, new messages work as well. And just to demonstrate the backfilling, you can see that the first page doesn't contain events, you know, 1 through to 26, but it does index everything from the first one to everything in the middle, and of course all the way up to things that you can see. So yeah, that's the demo. Just to round it all out, I'd like to say a great time working with everybody, met lots of awesome people, learned lots of awesome things, and yeah, good luck with the future. Bye bye.
Yay!
I didn't realize he'd put that little bit in at the end there.
Yeah, Neil, do you think we should point out that his internship just finished? We didn't, like, kill him or anything like this. Final.
Oh, he's gone back to school. He's gone back to university. Yeah, he's going to learn more stuff. All right, Matrix Live, that's your lot.